I want to tell you a story. It's a little messy, but it's earnest. Can you listen carefully?
Who Killed Alaska? Episode 14. 5½ Stories.
Part 1.
Like to show up uninvited. You flirting with me, Denver?
You still don't have a place to go?
Why are you here?
Just to talk. Just to talk. I know you didn't do it. I'm not here to ask you questions about the murder.
All of our
I'm telling you I'm not here
far,
to ask you questions
sure,
about the murder.
Whatever. 100%.
I just want to get to know you better. It'll be a regular conversation. I just want to hear about you. I'm doing a series of interviews where I ask what experiences made you who you are today.
That's too bad, because I have no desire to talk to you in any capacity. Okay, dude, don't try to make me feel bad for stating the obvious. I think it was pretty implied. No, not even implied. Established. Established pretty early on that this is a competition. So you need to stop perceiving me as a source of information for you. By the way, tell me about yourself as a question is the worst thing you can say in any situation. Like, that is an offensively open-ended question, and stop looking at me. Like, seriously, get out of here. Alice wants you gone, and they're revving up to rip into you. Like, literally, with their teeth. Come on, look at them. Shit, man, I'd be scared if I were you.
Fine.
Give me some fall.
Fine.
No?
I'll be back later with food.
You're gonna what?
Hello. Emma Wooten? You didn't notice it, but you stopped noticing me just then. Unnoticeable. Recently, a person that I had romantic feelings for started to approach me romantically. And I was trying to parse why it seemed so cartoonish. I have atypical synesthesia, so I describe it as, like, too colorful. Like, so colorful that it was kind of blinding. And that's when I realized he was manipulating me. He was being fake. It was a prank on me. He wanted to embarrass me. He wanted... Mom and Dad. Yeah, let's see. Well, my parents never saw me. I was always hidden in plain sight. Yeah. Yeah, right from the beginning. I was furniture. I was somebody's lamp. I want to tell you a story. It's a little messy, but it's earnest. Can you listen carefully? I was 12 when I realized I can just stop being noticed whenever I decide. Whenever I want, people can just forget I'm there. And I'm still in the room, I'm still with you, but if you saw me, you wouldn't know who I am. And you'd stop caring. I turn unnoticeable. Forgotten by choice. Whenever my parents walked by or tried to ask what I wanted for takeout, I just had to really focus. Like the opposite of falling asleep. Then I could find all the food in the fridge and in the nighttime when the world had fallen asleep. And I was still Emma. You can look up the Architecture Digest YouTube videos where my mom takes you on a tour of our houses. The number one popular one is called Inside $129 Million Long Island Mansion with a Tiger Room. I mention that because when she takes the crew on a tour of my bedroom, it's actually made of glass on all sides. My parents have our houses renovated so that my bedroom is made out of laminated glass in a very central part of the house that's visible from the gym and their offices. They do that to keep tabs on me in case I do something to hurt myself or sabotage things. Privacy isn't fully built into my brain as a concept. They have to make sure my room is built near the surveillance room so security can get to it quickly, and the furniture has to be small so people can see me. My mom and her husband set egg timers that go off every 60 minutes. Once per hour, they look over in the direction of my room to make sure I'm doing okay. And that's when I start to really focus. I focus and I turn myself unnoticeable. Then, when I'm unnoticeable, they get confused and they forget why they set timers in the first place. But sometimes it freaks out the staff when I go unnoticeable. My nannies? They start to panic and try to figure out where I am. They can't even figure out that I'm right in front of them. That made me start thinking I was the only person who was real. It was hard to think, or to have beliefs, but I thought I was the only person who was really, actually awake. And sometimes I was afraid to fall asleep or to die because maybe the world wouldn't exist without me in it. I didn't like the idea of my body existing nowhere. And I had some things I liked, like a certain someone, and then Logan. Oh, I knew Boo back then. He helped me with my homework, since I missed so many classes. Let's go back to Holy Cross High School. In 2018, I was a senior. Wait, was I? I was. No, I was doing my junior year for the second time. It was... Yeah, that's right. I was my own brand of popular. People would part around me, like Noah in the Bible. It was normal to me, so... Yeah, people walked up to me and talked to me. Popular girls walked up to me. Like they'd compliment my hair... Especially when my when I put it in braids. It was unique. I was unique. I was voted most unique. So I knew. I knew I was this sort of alluring weirdo. I know I was weird, but I was alluring. And I had a chance with, well, let's skip the more obvious person. I also had a chance with this boy named Logan Goldberg. He was popular, but nobody noticed him except for one alluring and interesting weirdo. I liked to be unnoticeable all day, but I was always present with him. I would turn it on and become unnoticeable, and nobody had to look at me anymore. But I turned it back off with Logan, so we could, see each other.
If you put together all of your happiness and all of your sadness together in a single story, it becomes thin, doesn't it?
Sorry, I tried a couple of new pills earlier today, and it's kicking in now.
Wait, so how am I supposed to tell you what happened?
How do I tell you how I felt?
If you layer all of the feelings together, then everybody loses track of what you're saying. Too many meanings layer over each other, and you become invisible.
Wait, how long have I been somebody's clamp?
Probably the whole time. These days, it's easier to turn unnoticeable to other people. It's really easy to trigger my power. Almost like there's less of me to hide now.
Like hiding a nickel in the palm of your hand.
So, you want me to say to Boo that... Tell me again?
Basically just have him read half the ad.
He's not gonna be happy. He's called a beekeeper's intuition, but he's not gonna be happy to read it with me.
Is that a thing people say?
No.
He does the ad is already, so I wouldn't worry about it if he's on with it.
Yeah, but he doesn't do them with me.
Oh shoot, I gotta go. I'm so sorry. I have a meeting in 7 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. Go ahead. Go. I'll figure it out.
But I can push this meeting. Back.
No. I'll figure it out. Go ahead. I got it. You're good.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm good. Go. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. I hope it all goes.
Thank you. Yeah. Toodaloo.
Hey. Me. Boo.
Oh my gosh, Boo is helping me with the ad read. Hey.
It's me. Boo. I just smoked weed. just smoked weed. Hey, Glory. Stop looking at me. Dude! I'm Boo. Now, on our Patreon, you can become a detective and get in on the mystery. Time for an adventure. For donating $10, you unlock puzzles and clues. You get to press buttons and all those puzzles. Dude. And then things happen. Wild. Every puzzle ends in a clue that has never show up in the show. These clues give you an alternative path for solving the mystery before me or Denver puts pieces together. Plus, every dollar goes to creating this show. Go to patreon.com/whokilledalaska. Again, that's patreon.com/whokilledalaska to become a clue detective.
Hey, thanks for the help, Boo.
No problem, Denver. And thank you to all our supporters on Patreon. Thank you to Lavender Cozy, Grudelispa, Christine McDavid, Nancy Augustine, Antigone, Declan McCauley, Lace, Misha Warlock, Jay, Laura B, Andrew Roper, CJ Taylor Caldwell, Lily Carlton, Brad Gopal, Narges, Emma, Nicole Collar, and Shep. Every single one of you makes a huge difference. Thank you. We just met another donation goal. So, soon we'll be posting another bonus episode just for our patrons on Patreon. Hope you enjoy it.
Beautiful, Boo. Thank you.
We did have a couple of people join the Patreon family a little more recently. So, thank you so much to Sarah, Ash, and Shoshi.
Hey, let's talk for a bit, okay? Don't walk away from me just yet. There's so many more lies I have to tell you. I didn't say lies. Did you forget what I said yet? I said follow the yellow brick road. Is that what I said? What do you remember? What did you forget? Don't look at me like that. What, does a simple hello and how are you always make you feel so analyzed? Let's talk for a while. Let's speak for a while. I don't have anything to hide. I'm an open book. So, what'll it be? What kind of story do you want? I'll tell you anything you want. And we can call it a joke. Oh, that's an interesting story. All right. Since I like you, here's this. I had more of a system in high school. So one day, I'm in front of the television with two mugs of Lucky Charms. I'm up early, so I have time to weed out all the actual cereal from the Lucky Charms, like you fucking do. Because the thing is, you see, I'm an all-marshmallows kind of man, and I want to enjoy myself before my mom gets up. And I get to eat the objectively best version of Lucky Charms out of the best mug in the house. Let's be clear, baby. This is a mug with a panda face and panda ears that belongs to my mother. It's objectively the best mug you can imagine. The panda face is upside down. Are you kidding me? That's insane. It's like that's my head fucking exploding at this panda face. Anyway, it's 5:58 a.m. The cable box says so, and my cable box is actually Jesus. Then this show comes on. And while I'm splitting up the Lucky Charms, it's like, it's one of my favorite shows. It appears out of nowhere. It's called The Friendly Zone.
The Friendly Zone. New episodes every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Are we friends or not?
So it's one of those specials where like, they don't play the theme song because it's so fucking dramatic. And it's about how Vanessa, who we might call the lovable dipshit, forgot that it's her birthday. And at the end of the episode, everybody comes in with her favorite chocolate mousse cake, and she goes, what's all this about? And they go, it's your freaking birthday, asshole. And she forgot. And she's surprised. And she cries. And she didn't know until her people told her. And I don't get it. I always kept my grades from getting too good in high school, because if I got like 100 or 90, the nun teacher, she like decrepitly walks over to me and she's like, great job, Jeremy. I have maybe a day left to live. And that means people walk over to my desk and then I have to spend time explaining why I knew all the freaking answers. Eventually, I gave up and just started copying off people to get grades that were more on that, like, typical level. I already know the answers to the test because I've already heard them before. We already fucking learned it. I don't understand it. Why don't you know the answers? You've already heard it before. I'd say chromium's atomic number is 24, or 32 times 48 was on the board last month, or your mom is fat as hell. It's in your head somewhere. I don't understand it. My first traumatic memory was when my real mom got bit by a dog when I was negative several months old. There's no calendar inside of a lady. Give me a break. She didn't fucking eat one, so I have no clue when that took place. My second traumatic memory was being born. It was like a fun fucking little water slide. My third traumatic memory was being abandoned in a locker for 3 days with no food or or water. I told my grandma about this while she was driving me to school, and that bitch died. The car hit a tree. I was late to school that day. So I bike my ass to school, and then I sneak up to my buddies while I'm doing an impression of Sister Genesis, and I'm saying, excuse me, it is not hump day, it is Wednesday. It's the first day that they installed this new hot drink machine. It was a sexy drink machine. So we all get hot chocolate, and Jillian sits on Alaska's lap while they share a hot chocolate, and me and Corey start doing our Sister Genesis at the same time. Then Alaska and everybody else starts friggin' laughing, and then I say, it's almost like we're all besties or something. And Alaska doesn't laugh, and he's very expressive, you know, he does whatever he wants. He doesn't care. And then I say, it's almost like we're going to catch Jumanji tonight in theaters. And Sam Schneider goes, Jeremy, is this a date? Well, smooch my caboose and call me Dandy. And then I say, who? And he says, Logan. Because he thinks I'm going to forget that he just called me Jeremy. And then Bobby walks by. He has a hand back then. And somebody calls out to him, well, smooch my caboose and call me Dandy. Me and Alaska have a good laugh about that. After school, I show up to the theater. And nobody's there. I stay there for a couple hours. And then the theater closes. So I call my mom to come pick me up, and she picks up the phone and she starts talking in Spanish, and I tell her, no, I want to talk in English. And apparently she can't pick me up because she's having heart palpitations, whatever. When I get home, she's over on the couch watching TV, and the TV is the only light in the room, but it's all static again. And she's waiting for her soaps to come back on. And I tell her, Ma, we should fix the TV. And she tells me to shut up, and she goes back to eating my cereal. I do forget things sometimes. Like, if you ask me what my favorite movie is, I haven't picked one. So I need to think back and figure out which one I like the most.
Disgusting. Filthy.
I can forget things. Like, I can forget my keys in the car. Well, I don't, actually. Now that I think about it, I don't do that. Have I ever left anything behind? That's a lot of memories. I'll think about it. Let me think about it. Hey, do you also have to flip through your memories? Does it help when you imagine, like, a picture book of all the things you've seen?
Disgusting. Filthy.
Disgusting.
And by the time I get to the basement, the cake's freezing cold. Actually, I heated it up in this microwave like this, 35 seconds. I actually have two birthdays, but I don't know one of them. I was too young. I didn't know how to read a calendar. Maybe that's kind of like forgetting. And that's when the cake's ready. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Logan. Happy birthday to me.
What is this? What are you handing me?
Food.
Take the... I don't want this.
You think I poisoned it?
No, I don't want your pity.
Have you eaten?
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
I don't think Alice wants you to starve.
That was really manipulative. At least be defensive. What do you want?
It's not an exchange. I'm giving it to you.
So you're trying to get on my good side, and that's the exchange. Your favor for my goodwill? Because you want information? Am I wrong?
Maybe I want a truce.
Fine. Truce. And thanks for the free food. Now what?
I have to figure out who killed your brother. Let me do that.
And I'm never gonna make it easy for you. Move on from Alaska.
I understand why this case has been overwhelming for you. Investigation requires training. I went to school for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, well, three? Not four?
I graduated early. You can do that.
Of course you fucking did. Good for you. Great for you, actually.
What makes you think I can't do it? I've already made great progress. I've eliminated most suspects. What? Okay. For example, I figured out the killer had to have an injured hand. They injured their hand on the knife because the killer was using a cheap plastic knife, and their hand would have slipped on the blade. That means...
Are you ready for me to shadow your theory? I only need one word.
Be my guest.
Gloves.
Normal gloves wouldn't withstand that cut. The knife would cut through.
Oh, yeah, well, what about mittens? The padded ones.
It's not very likely, is it?
It's just one example. I mean, what are your other theories?
Well, Alaska's shoe prints were in his own blood, so he somehow was able to get up after he was stabbed.
Oh, that is the dumbest shit. Sorry, that's rude. Look, Alaska was found without his shoes on, right?
Right.
So somebody stole his shoes. Did you think of that? Like they stabbed him, stole his shoes, and then the shoe prints of his boots would be in his blood. It's Alaska's shoes. Not his feet. This is a competition.
Yeah, and I'm winning.
Bobby. Does Bobby have a power? I don't remember something like that. Although, he doesn't talk about this. He does hypnotize himself.
Bobby York? So one thing that I like to do lately is I've been recreating internet meme jokes on Excel spreadsheets. Like in the midst of, you know, So I was using an Excel spreadsheet to assess myself, and it'll turn into me making an internet meme instead. Like somewhere along that little journey there. So I went from analyzing my daily performance in small talk and listening, kindness, patience, you know, crunching the numbers. And I went to making an image of William Shakespeare with sunglasses on using like the XL boxes as if they were like, I resized them like they're pixels. And then somewhere on the spreadsheet, I'll type the phrase "deal with it" in like really small letters. And so that's like a joke from the internet. You want to hear a story? Like an interesting story? So I need to dig deep into my memory palace, like deep, to find a story. Sit with me, you know, by the fire. Tea? Or cocoa? So you want and you deserve a good story. So let me take a look-see look. So when I was a kid, like a snipper-yapper, if you will, I wasn't allowed outside. No, never. The world was far too dangerous. And, like, I felt like those years, like, passed by, like a single heartbeat. And then all of a sudden, I was a grown man. So when I turned 12 years old, that meant that I could go outside. And the first thing, the very first thing I did outside was I took out some trash from my room because it just stank too badly. And I think I probably enjoyed going outside, but I don't really remember. Anyway, so one day I come home from school and I told my folks all about this new friend that I made. And my new friend was Abbott by name. Abbott, who played soccer. And my folks, like, they were in total bliss. Like, they told me to bring Abbott over for a little play date or something. And they drew up a diagram for how we were going to decorate the house. And hosting Abbott would be this big celebration of our kinship. And the plan was we would sit on the couch with Abbott while my dad played, like, his best ragtime on the piano. And they told me that I should ask Abbott, hey, what kind of foods do you like? And they said to ask him if he plays any instruments. And if he did, he could then give us a recital too, because music can really bring people together. And if I found out what Abbott's set list was, all of us could study up and we could sing along with the words while he was playing. And that would like, the plan was it would show our appreciation for this marvelous guest in our home. So I went to school the next day and I spent hours wondering what I should do. And the reason was, all right, you see, I made him up. I made Abbott up. He did not exist. So I had to go home from school the next day and I said, hey, Abbott doesn't exist. And my dad said, hey, yes, he does. He's right behind you, kid. He said that so Abbott had some kind of condition that would make him invisible. So we could bring him inside anyway, and we still had that little party. And my dad, he played his piano, and I remember him looking over his shoulder, kind of turning and saying, hey, what do you think, Abbott? And it was on me to be Abbott's translator, because... So I just had to tell my dad that Abbott was enjoying the music. But the story does not end there. As you know, when I got older, I went to a private high school called Holy Cross. And at Holy Cross, I started to get joy out of pretending to be straight. And, you know, actually, I was straight, but I liked it. It's funny. It's like, I liked pretending to like fishing and grilling and like spent my Sunday mornings at the Home Depot for my little projects, and it became this whole experience of a hobby for me. Like, there's this certain jovialness in the straight culture, and you know, from an anthropological perspective, it's just, you know, whether I'm straight or not a culture that I grew up in. My parents do not even believe in sexual orientation. So one day, I'm there in front of the mirror, and I'm rehearsing being straight. And my friend Glory, She was picking me up for school that day, so she walks in and she's pinching her nose. And she asks me, hey, what are you doing? And I tell her, hey, I am rehearsing and pretending to be straight. And what she asked me, and this is a direct quote in her words, do you like penne? She's like the... And I explained to her that it's not about that. And just the part that matters to me is that I like to pretend to wear basketball shorts on the weekends. And I showed her how I do it. So I keep my head high and I do a different voice and I make it lower and I de-emphasize the S's. It's been a while. And I adjust my uniform by making it very sleek and very minimalistic. No pins, no folds. And for example, we had these white sleeves on a button up that would they couldn't show up under the suit sleeves on the jacket and all. And so I started acting out for her how I did these whole rehearsals. If somebody were to ask me for a pencil, I have the human power to strategize my response to that. Something like, a pencil? Here you go. And then that sort of thing could be a rehearsal for pretending to be straighter. Because, it is possible to turn your public image into a whole art project. And I told her it is easy for me to make a version of myself that I like because, frankly, I like most versions of most people as long as they're complete and true and missing nothing. In fact, I actually find that I love people too much. To the point of inconvenience, I mean. With this one friend, I climactically ended up waving to them from, a backseat window, and there was nobody standing there to wave back. And I really felt alone. And I really hated them for not giving back that love that I was volleying over, even if they didn't even volunteer to be a part of that game. And, I said as much to Glory, and I said, I'm resolving to give all of that extra love to me, since that love's got nowhere else to go. And I'll give it to, the sunny days spent outside on our lunch and to warm coffee, especially when I've got it in my hand, or it would have been hands back then, hands. And I can just brush away the peeling skin and I can feel that warmth, really properly where my fingerprints are barely starting to grow back.
Chloe walked in on him hypnotizing himself in his room. She told me that story. He was hypnotizing himself to act different.
So we got into the car and we were watching all the people pass by. And I saw a real little boy and his mother playing catch with a piece of trash, it looked like. And I couldn't stop telling Glory how happy the kid's laugh was. And then she told me, to shut up. And I saw this old lady wearing a hat, and the hat was decorated with these lights that were kind of shaped like snowflakes. That's right, I said snowflakes. But I knew those strangers could never love me because there was always going to be that car window between us. And when I remembered that, again, I decided to love me. That wouldn't steal any love away from them, no. It would just be giving that overflow, take the stringy bits at the end and give them back to myself. I told Gloria a quote that I saw posted by my Facebook friend. Love is a greater burden than hatred. She said it's a very deep quote. I said, just like my love. So then I walk into class that day, and so this is where the story goes full circle. I walk in, and I'm paired up for the assignment there with a kid in my class that I had not met before then, and I have no idea how I'd never met him. So he had a face like a panfish, which that is a very common type of fish to fish among heterosexual men. Like, they like to catch him together, and you smile and you shake hands, and you say, oh, look at that sucker. And this guy, who looked like one of those panfish, guess what his name was? Abbott. Abbott. The coincidence! And I went full beefsteak, and I felt very proud of my pretending to be straight that day. I was participating in his culture. I could see a little twinkle of recognition in Abbott's eyes when I nodded in the most heterosexual manner one might imagine, just like him. And I also told him another quote that I saw posted by my Facebook friend. If comfort was called love, we would love to be hated. And he liked the quote. And as to whether he loved it or loved it, the jury is mightily out, which is the opposite of me because I was pretending to be straight, even though I would presume that I am. That joke kind of got away from me there, lost the thread a bit. Did I sound like Boo or what? Anyway, so later on, I was in like a classic cuddle puddle with my friends. It was Rachel and Gabe and Glory, which is, it's totally classic, by the way. And I was telling them all about Abbott. And so we were here, we had Gabe over there, and he's playing guitar like real loud. And I have to go, I have to be friends with a person named Abbott. And they were very supportive of that decision.
Bobby started hypnotizing himself a lot at that point. Often.
So, now it's a couple days later, and I walk into class with a notepad full of questions that I got from my internet research. And, now, like, benefit of hindsight, I know that it's silly, obviously. But back then, my memory wasn't great, so I really did need the notepad to remember the questions. And I think one of the questions was, do you like to cook? And what do you like to cook the most out of all the foods you cook? And very quickly, he was shifting in his seat. Like he was crossing his arms at his desk. And he looked very uncomfortable. So, I said, hey, don't you worry. I can remember all these questions. It's just I'm doing a survey for the school newspaper, and they wanted me to have them written down. And that was a lie. I'm sorry, Abbott. But, pretty soon we actually had something lined up. We were going to graffiti, like, grills and stuff on the side of buildings. And he said that I made him very comfortable. And that is what it's all about. Trying to understand people makes them comfortable. And there are some things I have to keep to myself, but, that's okay. That's okay. And when Boo heard that I was going to be hanging out with my new friend, he came to me and he told me to stop trying to be friends with Abbott. And there was, like, a lot of drama there. He was jealous or something. And then all of a sudden, I just... My brain just thinking. I hugged Boo, and I couldn't let go. At some point later on, I was in like a mirror shop. That's a bit of a jump, but I should clarify. I walked there. There's the transition. I walked there. And I'm in this mirror shop after school. And I'm standing there with my hand raised. And my moonstone necklace was, like, gently rocking back and forth with its chain tangled in my fingers. And I saw something in the mirror. And it was me. There were so many mirrors all around me that I found this infinite chain of, like, warped echoes of myself. And another mangled version of me was staring back from this, like, bad glass at this weird angle. I do hypnotize myself sometimes, like just to improve the things I want to improve. And somewhere in the vast maze of Bobby's York, there was somebody else. Like so many layers. Who else was in there? In brain? Nobody. Just a dream.
What?
You look cold.
Okay, I know people say that, but I don't get what it means. How can you look cold? I mean, it's a sensation. More food?
Pretty good, right? But by the way, there's some dog food at the bottom.
I don't like you very much.
I know. I don't like you very much either.
Oh. Why did you say that?
I'm sorry.
No, I was just surprised. You're not usually, honest.
I don't know why I just said that.
No, hey, it's easier if you say it. I prefer it that way. I don't like you, and you don't like me. We can be adults about it. Okay, well, it won't be necessary for you to start feeling bad about it. You sensed what I wanted to hear, and then you said it. I do that too, sometimes. Hey, do you see this this flower design here? Oh, yeah, we're recording the podcast. I'm pointing to some purple flowers on the side of a yogurt cup.
I see them.
Yeah, these type of flowers symbolize, I'm sorry I was rude to you, and I'm sorry that I'm going to keep being rude to you.
Thank you so much for listening to the new episode, and long time no see. I want to tell you about when the next episode is coming out, so welcome to a summer of new Who Killed Alaska episodes. Tune in on Thursday, June 15th for the next episode. We're going to be releasing every other Thursday until the end of the season. So pull up your calendar. Go on and write that down. Thursday, June 15th, and we really appreciate your patience. This has been the longest hiatus we've ever had, but there have been a lot of people who have stuck with us, a lot of people who have been on our Patreon even throughout a really long hiatus, and it really means a lot that you're here with us right now. So this is a series produced by the Ghost Factory. It's weird to say that again. My name is Cameron LeBrun. I am the writer and director and head of this project. And this would not be possible without all of the amazing people on our team, like Katrina Clairvoyant, our script editor. Thank you so much, Katrina. We also have our assistant producer, Lorena De Leon. Thank you, Lorena. The music is done by Thor Spieler and yours truly. And this episode has sound design by Andres Buitrago and Ismanuel de Moya. Audio editing was done by Andres Buitrago and Thomas Annunziata. The mix and master was done by Manis Kunder and Chris Zagorchev. The art that you're looking at right now, that's by Bella Wynn, Locke Reinhardt, and Dorito Falls. And what about our wonderful cast? Bobby York is played by Kyle Parker. Logan Goldberg is played by Trent Trachtenberg. Emma Wooten is played by Liz Mina. Boo Curtis is played by the very talented Alex Red. Finn Denver is played by the hardworking Joseph Katembo. Joe Magaro is played by Sally Roberts. Glory Johnson is played by Lindsay Zanna. This episode, we had a parrot. The parrot was played by Travis Heimbaugh. The cast of The Friendly Zone, Logan's favorite TV show, that's Thomas Annunziata and Jerenson Garcia. And thank you once again to our wonderful patrons who make this possible. That's Lavender Kazi, Grinley Spa, Christine McDavid, Nancy Augustine, Antigone, Declan McCauley, Lace, Misha Warlock, Shay, Andrew Roper, CJ Taylor Caldwell, Billy Carlton, Brad Gupel, Narjaz, Emma, Nicole Collard, Shep, Sarah, Ash, Shoshi, and now, as of today, Living Luxuriously Selena. Thank you so much for all of your donations. It really does mean a lot. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the new episode. Thank you so much.